Hi, I'm Saf, I'm from the USA, and I'm a Coldplay fan.
Hello everybody, and welcome to Cold Talks, the Coldplay Fans podcast. I am very happy to have you here once more, one more Wednesday, one more week. Coming towards the end of this crazy year of 2021, right? Well, I am Rodrigo, I am the host of this podcast, and more important than the host is actually the guest. And today we have a very loved guest, because every time I say that is a special guest, and I'm not lying, everyone is very special here, but just for me not to repeat the word special, I will say that I have a very loved one, that is Seth. Seth is a Coldplay fan, not for a long time, but with very nice stories to tell in terms of how Coldplay can connect to our daily, everyday life. I was trying to avoid this, but I couldn't. But yeah, Seth has a magical way of connecting Coldplay, the band, and other things that happened with them to us human beings, like regular people in lots of quotation marks, because one of the things that we definitely learn and we definitely get into a conclusion in this episode is how everyone is or should be treated as equal. And I'm kind of afraid of talk about some topics that we talked about today, because sometimes they sound kind of cheesy, but here, I mean, they were not here. Like Coldplay usually brings cheesy and cliche topics to a very real perspective and very human perspective. I guess that's what we did for today's episode. And, well, oh, and yeah, I was almost forgetting. Don't forget to follow us, to follow Cold Talks on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Cold Talks Pod, P-O-D. And remember to follow us also in the platform that you're listening to. We are on Deezer, we are on Spotify, we are on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. So then, every Wednesday, you will have a pop-up notification on your cell phone saying, hello, there is a new episode from Cold Talks for you to listen, okay? So guys, please welcome Seth. I also feel like we're best friends. We chatted like properly once to record a podcast, and the feeling is that I made a childhood friend. So I love when this happens, and well, that was one of those episodes. So guys, thank you very much. Let's go, Seth, Cold Talks. Woo! So how... I messed the hi. I cannot say hi anymore. What is happening? Hi, Seth. How are you? Are you great?
I'm doing great. I'm having a good time right now.
Really? It was Halloween yesterday, right? So we have like the partying period until now. For me, actually.
It was a fun night. You know, I was thinking about dressing up as Chris Martin, but then I realized I've done that just about every day for the last few months.
Yeah, right? Including now, I mean, people cannot see you, but you're having your Chris Martin outfit right now, right?
Yeah, I've got the Head Full of Dreams tour shirt with the little tie-dye thing, and then I've got the Brit Awards jacket.
Yeah, you mixed the eras. You're mixed eras today.
I couldn't decide.
Yeah, I don't judge you, not at all. Like, this one is one of my favorites from the Head Full of Dreams era. I really love that kaleidoscope thing that you have on the shoulders, basically. I think it's so beautiful. But my favorite outfit... We were going to talk about outfits later, but well, mm-hmm. Since we're already here, my favorite outfit from the Head Full of Dreams era is that Will's t-shirt that he usually wears it with the half of the Flower of Life.
And it's like shiny, it's like silver.
Yes, I think that's so beautiful. I wanted that on their merch so much, but well, we're never going to have it. And that's why we have you, Seth.
I've got one like that in the works.
Really?
It's not going to be shiny because unfortunately I can't replicate that, but it's got that giant Flower of Life kind of on the side. Yeah,
it seems very difficult to replicate that, right?
I don't know when I'll be showing that off. Well, it'd be like through a company. Like, it's not, I'm not drawing it physically on because I lack the talent to do that.
No,
but
you're done.
Looking into options.
Got it. But well, Seth, I really wanted to have you since like the third episode that we recorded with Haley. Haley couldn't stop commenting about you. And I was like, I already knew you from Twitter. But after that Haley episode, I was like, no, I need to have Seth here. I need to try to connect to her somehow. I didn't know if I followed you on Twitter, but I had already like interacted with you or seen your tweets around. But then after that, I was like, oh no,
yeah,
she needs to have here. So finally, it's happening. So how do you introduce yourself? How do you tell the Coldplay fandom who you are?
I'm not really sure how to tell who I am. I'm 17 and from the United States. I've been into Coldplay just about as long as I can remember. You know, even like when I was just a little thing in my crib, my mom would sing Yellow to me.
Wow.
So it's really been a part of my life ever since I've had the capacity to form memories. And it was just in August or September 2020 when I thought, I really want to get involved in whatever online community there is. You know, let me seek out who's out there. Let me try and make some connections. And the rest is history. I joined the Discord. I, you know, got more active on a Twitter account that had just been collecting dust. And one of my main things then was the outfits. I was really inspired by Chris's sense of style, particularly in the Head Full of Dreams era. And I thought, how can I do this myself? And I kind of documented progress there. And then I got a Viva jacket and made progress on Him for the Weekend jacket. And I just kind of established myself as somebody in the community, which was my goal.
Wow, that's just so nice because, I mean, I've seen lots of people like replicating that, but usually people choose one and then they replicate that one. But you choose everything. Like, you replicate everything.
Yeah. I have something in my notes app and it's just like a whole list of different Coldplay outfits that I really, really like. And I'd say probably about half of them are crossed off, like with ones that I've completed.
Wow.
But that means half of them are not. So that means what I already have is about half of what I want to eventually have as my full gallery.
Get it. But are you like into fashion or is just a Coldplay fan?
I'm not particularly into fashion, no. I mean, since I've began recreating the outfits, I've definitely gotten an eye for it. Like with the shoes, you know, with the Jordans, the teal Jordans and the Music of the Spheres ones with the Hoka bottoms. You know, I've taken more of a notice to people's shoes. I've taken more of a notice to the way people dress, the way that colors interact. So last year when I was beginning all this stuff, I had no interest in fashion. But a year into it, it's definitely something that has brought out an interest in fashion in me.
It's so nice. It's literally like Coldplay giving us a job.
Yeah,
starting it's to like, give a job.
How beautiful is it that one interest and community and possibly, you know, thing you do in the future can spawn another one, you know, a whole new interesting world in your life that you didn't know was there.
And this is something nice because I have talked to a lot of people like into the podcast and not like friends of mine that are musicians today. And like myself, like I was not very into music. Like I used to listen what everybody listens and that's it. But when I started like dissecting Coldplay albums, I remember the first album I listened was Rush of Blessed Head. So I was like, this is insane. I need to listen to that like 10 times a day. And that's what I did. Like, and I was very young as I did. I was like maybe 11 or 12. I started like, because of Coldplay, I started seeking a new way to listen to music. And that, like, in the future, began to be the ideal of, like, I don't want to just listen anymore. I want to make my own stuff. That is not because of Coldplay, I guess. There are a lot of processes, but it's something that was born because of Coldplay, for sure.
Yeah, it's something that lives kind of within your mind, but you need something outward to bring it out in you.
Exactly. And I know lots of different like Coldplay fans or even like people that are not fans anymore. I have some friends that like the really classic old play versus new play thing. Like
Some people, like, for me, that's bullshit. But I truly understand who, like, someone who sees the differences and says, like, I'm not comfortable with, like, who they are anymore. I just like those albums. And that's what they say, right? If you like, X and Y, you can listen to X and Y. It is on Spotify. It's there for you to listen. So, but I have some friends that started listening to music around, like, when those albums were being made. And they only still listen to music because they were introduced by those pieces of work, like the first album. Despite the fact that they don't like Coldplay anymore, like, Coldplay were the band who said, like, this is music, like, this is real music. You can actually listen. You can not only listen, but, like, interpret it, appreciate, contemplate music.
That's the beautiful thing about a band like a band like Coldplay that can, you know, with, like, so many different genres that they've tackled, like Parachutes, you know, the acoustic-y, Rush of Blood was a bit edgier, you know, X and Y had a bit of a space vibe, Viva La Vida with a bit of classical kind of, like, new take on things. Like, there are so many different ways that you could be introduced to music through Coldplay, you know, like Haley, for example, you know, such an amazing friend. And, you know, I'm so glad we bonded over this similar thing, but I came into it in the Head Full of Dreams era. You know, like, when I hear Coldplay music, like, when I hear that said, you know, one of the first things I think of is, like, the guitar on A Head Full of Dreams or the piano riff on Up and Up. Like, that is Coldplay to me. But then Haley has, you know, like, Death and All His Friends or the Viva title track or Violet Hill, you know, both outstanding pieces of work. And it spoke to us in very different ways and brought us together.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing.
But it's still the same, like, founding rock. It's the same thing. Like, it's Coldplay. It's the same band.
Yeah. It's like different branches of the same tree.
Yeah, exactly. I see myself in such an interesting point on that because I started being a fan at the very end of Viva. I remember the first single that I listened to it and I watched the video, and the day it came out was Christmas Lights. So it was the literally the middle, like the turning point from Viva La Vida to Milo. So for me, like my head imagines when I talk about, like, Coldplay music is Christmas Lights, but at the same time, like, Viva La Vida and Milo, which is the album that divided some people. But for me, it was like, for me, Milo was like the point where everything made sense, because I don't remember when I talked about it. I remember that when Milo came out, like, lots of friends around me said that, oh, this is too shiny, this is too sugarish, this is too pop music, and this is not for me. And I was like, I was just replicating that same idea. Like, yeah, the only great albums are the first four albums. But now, like, I was 13 back then. Like, I don't judge myself. But now...
Yeah, just kind of hopping on the bandwagon.
Exactly. I was just, like, there repeating what my friends used to say. But now I look at it and I say, like, Milo was not, like, even one-tenth of what I imagined it was back then. Because I liked the album so much. But I felt like I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't, by the time, I shouldn't say, and I wouldn't say that I liked a record like Milo's Island Tour, because Coldplay is a rock band, like, in lots of quotation marks. That was my mind saying. And today, I think, like, wow, so ridiculous.
I have my own kind of story like that, except it's not with Milo, it's with Ghost Stories. The one person who I listened to Coldplay a lot with around, like, 2015, 2016 was my father. And he introduced me to A Head Full of Dreams. First time I listened to A Head Full of Dreams was actually on the way to the train station to get on the train to go see them in concert.
Wow.
So I didn't even get through the full album. First time I heard Up and Up live was live, or first time I heard Up and Up was live in front of me.
Well, I think Haley mentioned that.
And that's one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
He would constantly, for whatever reason, he would shit on Ghost Stories. He would say, like, oh, well, you know, that's their stinker album. That's their album where they didn't really try. And I didn't listen to it, and I didn't think it was worth listening to. And then one day I was on YouTube, and I came across the song Fly On. Oof. And I just thought, ah, hell, we'll give it a try. and I clicked on it, and my spirit left my body. That is to this day one of my favorite songs, if not my favorite song ever written.
Wow.
And not one that I can just put on, you know, like, oh, I think I want to listen to music I like. Let's put Fly On. But like, if I'm going through a difficult time or, you know, battling some demons, that is a song that can really ground me and really kind of give me peace and collection of thoughts and say like, okay, you know, we can fly on, we can go to the next step, we can move forward. And so Ghost Stories is an important album to me in that, you know, not only just the importance of the message of building back from when you're not doing so great, but also to never judge something by what other people are saying. You know, if I had never taken that step and said like, oh, well, yeah, maybe my father's wrong about this, I would have never discovered such a beautiful thing. And, you know, in other music or in other interests or even in other people, like at school or within different communities,
you wouldn't have like your own opinion, like that is truly yours.
Yeah. It's like you hear some things, but you know, the way to truly experience something and grow a genuine opinion about something is to experience it firsthand. So if you have that opportunity, you know, go for it.
Wow. That's so like, intense. Because by the way, you have answered the first question I had before you even like I asked you, because it was like, what's your favorite song? So you said that it's Fly On. It's very nice, because like one of the biggest points of this podcast is how people easily connect Coldplay to other aspects of their life, like without even thinking.
Oh, it's so easy.
Yeah,
they make it so easy with just the kind of different messages that they put out, you know, because Parachutes is kind of like teen angst, you know, everybody's got that phase within them, and I think a little bit remains into adulthood for most people. And then, you know, up through Viva is kind of rebellion and explosion of sound and kind of a rebirth of personality, which everybody probably goes through at some point in their life. Up through A Head Full of Dreams, you know, celebrating life, everyday life, of course, very applicable in 2020 to 2021 with the issues around and things becoming very, very clearly.
It was released in 2019, right?
Yeah, it's like, do they have a time machine?
Yeah, I have that feeling.
It's like, we need to investigate this.
I have that feeling too, right? And even music of the spheres now, because like you're heading out of a pandemic, so I have like, I don't know, because pandemics here in Brazil was, pandemic here in Brazil is something so different from the rest of the world. I have the strange feeling that, like, for watching the news and because we are in the middle of a political crisis too, and I feel like, whoa, things are so different. And I have that feeling of something that pandemics did to me was kind of being, like, having a negative reaction to any kind of thing that is over, that sounds too happy. Like too festive.
Yeah, I get that.
Because like I don't think sometimes that we are in the mood for that. And we actually aren't, but Coldplay does that. And some other bands too, but Coldplay, since we're talking about Coldplay, has done that into Music of the Spheres in a way that it's just truly uplifting. It's not just like superficial.
It is. And I think a part of that is like, let's take A Head Full of Dreams, for example. You know, A Head Full of Dreams, the song is just straight positive message. You know, it's just guitars and happy words and inspiration, and then birds, you know, flying free with such a colorful vibe.
My favorite,
you
know,
it can come across as artificial if you're not in that mood.
Yes.
Because you think, how can somebody feel like this? How can somebody be saying this in a time where they feel how I'm feeling right now?
Yeah.
But something about Music of the Spheres is, you know, it kind of, it's a melancholic in a way, but in a positive way. It's saying sort of like, yeah, things aren't the best. But look, we have support around us. Coloratura. Exactly. You know, everyone's allowed. People from all over are here and celebrating things. And, you know, like up there in the heavens, Galileo saw reflections of us too. It's like we are in the stars somehow. You know, we're all here together and, you know, we support each other.
You cannot see, but I'm kind of shivering. Like, this is just so intense. I mean,
yeah. It's like the difference between simply uplifting speech in a head full of dreams and, you know, a kind of reminder that we're all here together to support each other is not only inspirational, but helpful mentally, because you think two things. One, I have a lot of people around me who love me and support me, either within this community, or it reminds you that in this world, in the workplace, in school, in family.
Yeah.
And it also encourages you to be that support and love for somebody else, which makes yourself feel good.
Exactly.
So I think they really figured out the key to keeping a positive mood and an upward trend, even in a really, really dark time.
Exactly. I always remember now, like, we did that episode of the fan deep dive on Music of the Spheres, where we got people from everywhere in the world talking about like the songs. And I would never forget something that I think it was Mati from Twitter too, but from the Philippines. Something that he said that it was like they were supposed to talk about Let Somebody Go. And they said, like, I really like how this song also resembles to last year, to the pandemics, because we lost so many people, so many loved ones, like, that were taken away from us, and we had to let them go, like, not so it's not only like a love song, it's a letting go song. So it can be like for a loved one that you lost in the pandemics, it can be for a dog, like your hamster that died when you were six. But and that's what the point that we were talking about is not superficial. Like, it can mean a lot of things.
Yeah, it's very, the lyrics have always been very open to interpretation. Like, Let Somebody Go is a prime example, because, you know, when I hear that song, there are dozens of people who have been in my life that I think about, you know, friends that I've had to, you know, let go because, you know, maybe they don't treat me so well anymore, but it's like, now without you, what on earth am I to do? You know, there's a bit of a void there.
Yeah.
Or dealing with loss, you know, you have to let them go. There's no other option, but that doesn't make it any less difficult. So it's like, it's very individualized to the listener's mind, no matter what the song is about, good or bad in that album.
Exactly. Let Somebody Go was not like an immediate love for me, like, I liked it, but I was like, why is this song here? I couldn't get it. Like, because it feels strange when you're listening to the album for the first time, because we have like energy, 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 and then Let Somebody Go. Because we have like...
Yeah, Music of the Spheres, one, Into Higher Power, and then Humankind, and then this cool kind of like sci-fi transition, and then boom, sad piano ballads. Like, what the hell is this doing here?
Exactly. I felt exactly that. Like, I felt kind of misplaced, but so I couldn't pay attention to the lyrics or anything, because it felt strange. That is not all the word for that. It felt a bit strange. Let Somebody Go was a song that, after this comment from the folks from the Philippines, and I comment that on their episode too, because after the deep dive, we made an individual episode with all of them. And this is something that I will never forget. Personally speaking, I didn't, fortunately, didn't lose many people, like loved ones, on the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that feeling of death, of being surrounded by death all the time that the pandemic had, was so strong in me. Like, I got like many kind of strange phobias and those kind of things because of the pandemics, that I'm still handling that to today.
Yeah.
So that feeling, like, I feel that now I need to learn how to let that part of me go, because it was something that I wasn't able to deal with. It was so new for me. Like, people started to look like a threat because of the pandemic. Like, I can't be close to other people because then I'm going to be sick and maybe I'm going to make them sick, and I don't want that.
Yeah, it's not only like your brain being wired to see other people as a problem, you know, not even for any reason other than like, oh, that person may have the virus, but you also begin to see yourself as a liability for other people, because you're like, I don't want to get these people sick.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the thing that makes these people suffer in some way.
Yeah, exactly. I struggled a lot into the pandemic, and I'm still struggling. And that is something that after Mari said that, I automatically connected this to this kind of feelings and those things that I'm like treating in therapy and those kind of things right now. But it made me feel comfortable. Like, yes, this is going to happen, but this is a process and it's going to be over someday.
That's something that's really important for everybody to understand about any kind of traumatic experience, whether it be developing these sort of anxieties about the pandemic or, you know, something that happened beforehand or since, and you haven't really been able to cope because you haven't been able to talk to people. But like, something important I've learned is that it, no matter how long it takes to heal, like it does eventually happen.
Yeah.
It's like you do get to a place where you think about whatever bad thing it is every day. And then there will be a day that comes and you're like, hold on, that hasn't affected me today. And then it'll be a week where you think like, oh yeah, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
So like somewhere in the future, there's a you that isn't kind of brought down by that stuff. And that's something that everybody needs to remember, no matter what they're going through. Cause that like saved me.
Exactly. And I was talking to my therapist last week about that. And I said something that, and she like confirmed me about that it's something so important for me nowadays, that it's like, it's not about for me, like pursuing a future where I'm not like anxious anymore. It's about pursuing a future where I get anxious and I know how to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And this doesn't like kill my entire day. So, I think that's the point. I mean, I know that this is a podcast about Coldplay. I know that probably some people are listening to that and say, what the hell?
Getting really deep into this.
Yeah, we got really deep into that.
Chris would be proud, though, because this is what he does every interview.
Exactly. Chris, if you're listening, you were invited to participate on the podcast, by the way. Who knows?
Guess.
And again, connecting, tying this back to Coldplay, like, Coldplay has a power to simplify things. I talked about that. I remember Brooke, when I talked to her, we talked about something like that. Like, Coldplay has the power of getting complex things and simplifying them without being oversimplified.
Yeah.
Like, acknowledging the problems, acknowledging the hard parts, but becoming simple. And this is just a lifesaver.
That's one of the magic things that Fly On does for me, is it... You know, if I'm dealing with something like, let's say, the tornado that happened a couple months ago, like that was chaos. And I had no idea what to do. You know, I had a lot of thoughts and feelings that I didn't really know what to do with or how to organize. And I sat in the bed that I was sleeping in that night, like the night it happened. And I just had Fly On repeat. And it's just kind of like that simple piano riff. And like, it doesn't even have that many lyrics, but just like having that music to hold on to and remembering that message helps me collect things. Like say like, okay, I can recognize this one feeling as anger. I can recognize that this is coming from a place of sadness or whatever. You know, it helps you put those things into little boxes and helps you clear your emotional vision, so to speak.
Yeah. Wow, there are so many comments that I want to make about that, but I mean, I think we need to tie back to Coldplay. Not that we are talking about Coldplay, I'm pretty sure about that.
The listeners are getting bored.
but don't run away, guys. Please, don't run away. Have you ever listened to a version that we have on YouTube that is like Fly On orchestral version or orchestral mix?
I put that on sometimes. Yeah, I have
it's
that saved in the
so
files
beautiful.
On my phone. I love it.
Right? It's just so beautiful. I remember the first day that I listened to that, I was like, Coldplay needs to make this official somehow, some way. I don't care. Just make this official.
Funny enough, the first time I listened to that, I fell asleep. I came home from school. I was looking at my YouTube recommended, and I saw, honest to God, I saw like, Fly On instrumental by... Oh, I can't remember her name. Somebody extraordinarily talented. And I thought, oh, this will probably be nice because, you know, I love the original song and I like, you know, string music, you know, orchestra stuff. And I put it on and I didn't even reach the end before I was, it must have just been like a long, tiring day at school or something. I was out. And it, and then I woke up and it was like 3 hours later and I was like, well, damn.
But it's longer, right? I think it's a longer version. The name of the artist is Mattia Cupelli. So shout out to Mattia Cupelli.
Yes, for that's it. This. Oh my God. It is so good. It's it so is beautiful. So amazing. Yes. If you haven't listened to that version yet and you like the original and you like the vibe of it, definitely go listen to it because it is life-changing and try and stay awake.
It's 5 minutes long. I mean, it's kind of longer than the original version, but it's not that long. But try to listen like when you're not that tired, maybe, because then you'll probably fall asleep. But I mean, this is something nice. I remember when...
That might have been my mistake.
No, I don't think it... Maybe it wasn't a mistake because I remember when on X and Y, the era that we got bad reviews where people said a Coldplay is music for you to sleep on and... And I remember Chris saying something like, thank you. It's nice that people can relax when they're listening to our music. I remember something that came out some months ago that one of the best bands for babies to sleep is Coldplay. And I think this is kind of nice. I mean,
I can totally see that.
Yeah, right. I think this is nice. Some people may mock that and say bad things about that for me. Like there are some times that the only thing that I really want, like, as we were talking about, I struggled with anxiety a lot this year. So, like, for me to sleep was something so rare. So anything that made me sleep, actually sleep, is just the best. Like, I don't care about that.
It's great that somebody can give you that level of peace and, like, just quiet in your mind, like not even if it was bad things. Like, if you had a great day, you know, that stuff replays in your mind over and over.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't sleep, but then Coldplay comes in and I remember that the one version of Everglow live at the Belasco Theater, that did wonders for getting me to sleep just because it's mixed so well and it's very dreamy sounding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good for that stuff.
I think they have a playlist on Spotify like Coldplay songs for you to sleep. Like
they probably
it's an official
do.
Thing, I guess. It's calm Coldplay songs or something like that. I think it's even official, like, because again, I think that's not a problem at all in those kind of things. Actually, on the opposite, I think that this can be so good that we sometimes forget about. I had a professor at university that every time his students used to sleep in his class, he used to be so happy because like he could create a classroom environment that was so great that people felt so comfortable that they started to sleep. I mean, I guess that's not...
Exactly. It's a compliment.
Yeah. maybe he's eluding himself a little bit. But, I mean, why not, right? Why not? I think it's...
I mean, he's right, you know?
Yeah.
If something makes you comfortable enough to sleep, like, yeah, the end result is... that you're unconscious and that you don't remember it, which kind of sucks. But, you know, if something has the capacity to get you to that place, you know, that's a magical thing. And if Coldplay is the leading thing in that for babies or for me in sixth grade when I was listening to that Everglow, like, hell yeah, that's one of the best things that a band or, you know, group of people can be.
And yeah, I mean, like, Coldplay is not only the sleeping band, they have, like, People of the Pride, so they go from A to Z, right? You can sleep with Fly On, and you can, like, scream your lungs out with Viva La Vida or People of the Pride and this kind of thing.
That is something I absolutely despise about the Head Full of Dreams album. I love it to death, but Everglow into Adventure of a Lifetime, it's like, fuck you guys for that one, because I would fall asleep... You know, and the light that you give me will ever glow. And the little piano chord, and then like, oh my God, the amount of times that made me jump up.
That's something similar with Human Heart and People of the Bride. Like, it's so peaceful. It's just like
they were putting around that gif of Aunt May in Spider-Man with the like peaceful inside, and then the big explosion behind.
Exactly. Exactly. This capacity of Coldplay of like being a chameleon. I know that the chameleon of rock is David Bowie, but I'm not trying to compare them, but I think that's something that's just so nice because some people say that this is just they like trying to do everything and not achieving any, but I mean, I don't agree with that at all.
Same here.
But still, like, going, I only asked you one question, and this is, like, 30 minutes long. That's going to be the best episode ever.
Yeah, throw some more questions.
More questions. Let's go. So, you said that your favorite song is Fly On, but what is about your favorite album? I have my guesses now with everything that I've listened to, but I want to listen from you.
Shit, that is way too difficult. I have to say my favorite album as...
I love to see people struggling.
Yeah, oh my, it makes me squirm. I have to say my favorite album as a like coherent whole is A Head Full of Dreams.
Got it.
Just because like listening to that on a walk in spring, you know that feeling like when it's the first warm day and you get out and you smell flowers and you hear birds chirping and you see little bees pollinating the flowers and all that. That's what A Head Full of Dreams is to me. If I put on that song and I'm really feeling in the spirit of the album, like that is the single most uplifting feeling that I think I can have. But, you know, that's not to take away from the fact that I listened to Parachutes on a loop for a lot of my childhood. And I'm not talking about like 10, 11. I'm talking about like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Like that was our road trip music in the family. The Music of the Spheres, of course, is the first album that I've been involved in, like the hype of, that I've gotten to watch the release of. With this big new family of people on the internet. So that, of course, holds a special place in my heart. Like the answer is A Head Full of Dreams, but it is a very, very narrow victory.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody, like, I think literally nobody that has ever been here were able to list only one album. Like, this is my favorite album and that's it.
And that just shows how good their music is.
Exactly. This is just a living proof, like, you cannot pick a favorite. And, I mean, they have 9 albums. It's too much. Like,
it is. And they're all so good.
Exactly. Moving on, I also want to know a little bit about live concerts. You mentioned a little bit about that. Haley mentioned some concerts on Haley's episode, the part where they were talking about live concerts specifically. They mentioned some concerts that were with you, but now I want to know the other side of this story. Like, how many concerts have you already attended?
I've been to 4 Coldplay concerts, but I don't know that the second 2 really count as Coldplay concerts. So I went to 2 gigs during A Head Full of Dreams, August 6th, 2016 in Philadelphia and August 6th, 2017 in DC. I know they were exactly a year apart.
Yeah, like, wow.
It's really weird, but I remember that. Every time I see that day on the calendar, I'm like, oh, it's Coldplay Day.
Twice. It's double Coldplay Day.
On June 17th, 16th, I don't know. In the middle of June, we went to the Today Show, which was like, oh my God, the coolest experience ever. And we got to talk to Phil, and I laughed in his face, grilling him about the race.
Oh, I know that story.
Released the race, right? It's up in my bedroom now. But is it around here? I don't know. But I had a sign that said, release the race. Underneath I had the lyric, whatever it takes. And I held that up when the band came out for the actual set. And Chris started laughing and he pointed to it and he got like Guy and Will's attention and they smiled at it. That was kind of like my goal. It was like, if I'm going to see these guys, I'm going to get some information about this thing. And I asked Phil, because some people got to talk to him and they were asking him little things about higher power or what does it feel like to be back in front of an audience, like, you know, just general things. But I said, like, hey, can you tell us anything about the race? I was on a mission. And he left, and I almost like regret this. I said to him, like, yeah, you're not on Twitter now. You can't run from us now, Harvey. And I laughed in his face. And he just said, actually, a funny thing about that is Chris had a dream last night about it, that he found a new way to finish it, but that we didn't like it very much. And he has yet to show it to us. But the song is in progress and we're working on it, and it'll definitely be out sometime, but I don't know when, but it's definitely coming. And he said that to me, and then he signed my little poster. And I think to this date, that is the only signed piece of the race memorabilia that has like ever existed. Been done.
Yeah. Please send me a picture of that later. I really need to see that.
Oh, I will. Yeah. That is one of my prized possessions. And then
the future is going to worth millions and millions. Don't worry about that. You'll be rich because of that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that thing's going on eBay. I'm getting a new house.
Exactly.
But the second one that I went to with Haley was Global Citizen just this past September.
I think it was 25th because they released My Universe in 24th. And I'm pretty sure it was on the next Saturday. So it was the next day.
You are correct.
September 25th. I don't know why I remember
that. Yeah, because none of us had heard that song yet. You know, we had no idea what was coming.
Yeah. Let's continue by that.
Yeah, let's keep going. So we got to do that, and it was amazing to hear Higher Power live. And the visuals for Music of the Spheres 1 that they had up on the screen. You know, I'm so happy that they released that on YouTube as the kind of visualizer, because seeing that in person was like, you know, up on that big screen, I was like, holy crap, this is awesome.
Yes.
And, you know, here in My Universe Live, like that, the intro, the synth that they play is unreal. You just feel it in your chest. And like, the songs that they played such a great set. I'm still ticked that they didn't play Coloratura, because I would have really liked to hear that.
Yeah.
But you know, I can't complain. I was there, and you know, being able to see them and be not only in the same presence as them, but with Haley next to me, you know, one of my closest friends, you know, like almost like a big sibling to me. If anybody listening to this that doesn't know Haley, one, this is probably your first episode. And two, like, go check out their episode. Go check out their Twitter. They're one of the best people that I have known.
Yeah.
Not only in this community, but just, like, in my life. So, like, go, like, shout out to Haley for just being an awesome human being.
Yes, we love you, Haley.
And that's how I got to the Today Show gig, is we, you know, of course, I put in a little thing to say, like, oh, yeah, pick me for this contest. But Haley is the one who won and brought along me, somebody named Lexi and
Brooke, right?
Brooke, who you mentioned earlier. And I didn't know, like, anybody in the community other than Haley at that time. And I, through Haley, I got to be introduced to other people around, like Emily and Maria Jose, and there's so many other people who I'm like blanking on names now, but who are just great people that I'm so happy to have met. You know, the band brings people together in such a great way. Mm-hmm. There's so many great things and people that I've met that I wouldn't have met if I didn't take that step to become more involved in the community, you included.
Yeah, I feel the same way, like talking to people to create this podcast. I feel like every time that I record an episode, it's like meeting a new friend, even though, like, I don't know if I'm going to get in contact with those people, like, when we turn the Zoom off, but I don't mind. Like, I when I recorded to the folks on Coldplay Philippines last week, it was last Sunday, it was just so, like, I could swear to you that they were my best friends from childhood, because we connected so easily.
Yeah.
And that's the point about this thing of having friends on the fandom, because you have already one step forward because you like the same band.
Yeah, you've already got a conversation starter.
Yeah, and it's not just like, oh, I like this song, I like that song. It's not like I identify with this way of living and this way of seeing the world and that way understanding emotions. And you can, like we did, I mean, we started the episode talking about emotions.
Yeah, we got really deep into like philosophy and like ways to look at life. That's the beautiful thing, is that even liking the same band doesn't mean that you have to talk about only the music or only the members. You can talk about a whole other way of approaching problems in your life and the other person will understand just because this group of people kind of taught them how to see it that way.
Yeah. I mean, this is not a rule. There are, unfortunately, there are a lot of Coldplay fans that are not, I mean, the best.
Yeah.
But, I mean...
They just kind of get isolated from the big group, though.
Yeah, that's the point.
You have, like, 15 people who are, like, you know, love everybody and everybody's voice counts and, you know, support each other through the hard times. And then there's one person over there who's, like Coldplay is, you know, exclusively a rock band and I hate this new hippie feel and, you know, suck it up and deal with your own problems. You know, we all just kind of collectively move away from that person. Exactly. Like, okay, you can say that stuff, but please stay over there.
Yeah. I'm really sorry for this person because this person is clearly not listening, clearly not understanding what the band has been saying over 20 years. So, like...
hearing the music but not listening.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Exactly. Like... some weeks ago, there was like some random person on Twitter that everybody was talking about that tweeted something like, I love Coldplay, but they need to stop with that gay thing. And I'm like, what? Like, I remember, I think it was because of People of the Pride.
Yeah.
What is this person going to do when this person sees like Chris Martin with a gay flag in the middle of a concert? Like,
yeah, what happens? It's like, I almost hope that they spend hundreds of dollars to get like floor seats and they are watching Chris wave a pride flag in front of their face when they realize that they've just wasted money to be disappointed at the fact that this man supports everybody.
But that's the point. Like, why are they disappointed? This is on the lyrics of literally every Coldplay song since Parachutes. Like,
yeah,
it's not new.
Also, different groups being supported. Like, okay, I am, you know, with the LGBT community, but with Trouble in Town, you know, supporting against racism, particularly Black Americans. It's like, hell yeah, stand up for those guys. You know, I'm so with that fight and that message of, you know, all that, even if it's not directly affecting me.
Yeah.
So even if this person is a cisgender heterosexual male, you know, songs about uplifting women or people of color or trans people or gay people, like you should just be like, yeah, supporting other people who are just like me.
Yeah, because I mean, like, even though like I'm not Black, but I obviously can relate to people of the pride. Yeah, I can relate pretty much to People of the Pride, but with Trouble in Time, for example, because I think the point that sometimes we miss nowadays is that it is important to divide, like, this is something about the Black movement. This is some like Black Lives Matter movement. This is about like gay rights. This is about women's rights, trans rights. And it's important to divide and organize ourselves to fight against specific things. But at the same time, we are fighting the very unsame villain, in quotation marks. Like, we are together against oppression, and that's the point. It doesn't matter in this point here if like it's a, I don't know, it's a anti-racism song or anti-LGBTQ phobia song, whatever. Like, it is the same villain in the end of the story. It is the same, like, we are fighting discrimination and prejudice. So sometimes it's nice that we divide and organize ourselves to truly understand what is being thought. But at the same time, we cannot forget that we are fighting the same thing. We have the same opponent.
It's like, there's something that I was just laying in bed thinking about just kind of the state of things one night. And I realized something that I think Coldplay has taken to heart in their own way through their music, which is like, you have to fight for everybody.
Yeah.
And if you aren't fighting for everybody's equality, you're fighting for your own privilege.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, Coldplay, not only, you know, with Trouble in Town supporting, you know, Black Americans and people of, you know, all skin colors everywhere who might be harassed or incorrectly imprisoned or mistreated across the world, because, you know, that applies specifically to what's happening in the United States, you know, throughout history. But,
yeah,
you know, it can apply to tons of other places where certain people are targeted. But they not only go from, or they not only write songs like People of the Pride, but like also Trouble in Town. You know, they're fighting multiple fights at once. And even with the knowledge that some of their fan base who liked them in the early 2000s are going to say like, oh, what is this hippie and woke BS? But they're, you know, they don't care about that. They care about the right messages.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
And they shouldn't care about that. I remember that Spotify storyline thing that they have on
yeah.
Music of the Spheres, where they talked about like the ones that we have on My Universe.
Yeah, the ones under Epiphany.
Yeah, I mean, that was something. Like when I read that the first time, I was like, damn.
Shots fired.
Yeah. Because they literally say, like, if you want to listen to, like, the Coldplay from 20 years ago, you just press play on Parachutes on Spotify. It's there. You can listen to that. But now we want to collab with BTS because this is creative freedom, right? I really like the fact that on Music of the Spheres, we have, like, the poppiest song of the record, which is My Universe. And then we have something very experimental that is Infinity Sign. And then we have Coloratura, that it's Coloratura. So, I mean, it's...
Coloratura is its own category.
Yeah.
That's how special it is.
Exactly. Like, and this is so amazing to see a band as big as Coldplay doing that, because they're literally like sticking their middle finger to everybody and saying, we're going to do whatever we want.
Yeah. And something like I sing Coldplay's praises to a lot of different people that I talk to, you know, friends or people over the internet. And something I hear a lot is, oh, they're a sellout these days. But like Chris specifically said that the music that they made before, like, yeah, it applied a lot to what they're feeling, you know, like Parachutes or Rush of Blood with the kind of young angsty feel. But like nowadays, they're not confined to what a record company wants.
Exactly.
Or to what the demographics want. You know, if they want to make a piece of music, they make it. You know, like the song Everyday Life is on the same record as Cry, 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 and Guns, and
Broken.
Daddy. It's like those are four so different songs, but they looked at each one of those subjects and said, yes, we want to write a song about this. And then they did it, and they put it out with not a care in the world. You know, that freedom and seeing people that I care about, like Coldplay, you know, you look at Chris and you just wish that person happiness.
Yes.
Or you just look at, you know, Will drumming and you just think like, man, I hope that he goes home and he just has the best night of his life.
Yeah.
Like seeing those people that I love so much being able to have that freedom and seeing that they don't worry about that is such a great thing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's something that if you see, for example, the A Handful of Dreams documentary, it is so clear that that was like that thing of doing what you need to do because of like record companies. And you can see how that was somehow destructive for them. You can see
in the like the clips around the X and Y era, you know, where Chris, you know, on that tour, you know, we have like 50 concerts until
the end of Coldplay. Yeah.
Like that is a man in some real, you know, mental turmoil,
yeah.
Like, or them trying to write the lyrics about Leonardo,
yeah.
Or, you know, trying to get other stuff right, is you can see that there's a kind of tug of war match between what are we going to put out that's going to get the attention and the money and the approval from the record company that we want and what we actually want to do.
Yeah.
So seeing this move into one area is great.
And even A Rush of Blood to the Head, because like, it's clear to see in that movie, like they have the best time doing that album, but at the same time, they needed to do something that was better than Parachutes. And they did, but mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even imagine what is to like start making a record where the only thing you can think about is this album needs to be better than the other one because it's the second one.
Can you imagine like just being sat down in a room and somebody says to you, like, okay, you know Coldplay's Parachutes? Yeah. You have to make a record better than that.
Yes.
Like, oh my God. And especially after, because they said that they almost broke up over those Parachute songs.
Yes.
So like they go through hell doing this album. They come out with an absolute work of art in the year 2000. And they get thrown back into a studio and say, all right, top it.
Yeah. Parachutes were released on June or July. It was almost the middle of the year. I don't remember. Maybe I'm wrong. But, well,
I think it was August. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something like...
Right in the middle of the year.
Right in the middle of the year. Okay, editor's note and a small fact check in here. Parachutes was released on the July 10th of the year 2000. Okay, moving on. 1 year after... they already started making Russia Blessed Hats. It was so short period of time. This is exhausting.
And also the fact that they were probably doing concerts for a lot of that time in between.
Yeah, they didn't have like a very big tour by that time. Their first big tour, like world tour, was on a Russia Blessed Hat. But at the same time, they had like things to do. They have like, they're starting to have families. They were starting to have like... other things to do. So again, like you said, like I cannot even start to imagine what is to like someone like from a record contract that says that you need to make an album number two by that time, and album number two needs to be better than album number one. And then if you don't like, if you're not very attentive, this is a pattern that just repeats. Like, you make album number two, great. So now album number three needs to be better than now albums number one and two.
Yep.
You're going to make album number four. So album number four needs to be better than album number one, two, and three. And so it goes. Like, nobody resists to that. Like, this is too much.
And I think a formula that they kind of grasped onto pretty quickly is it doesn't necessarily need to be better in the same way.
Yeah.
Because if you look at like X and Y and Viva, it's like X and Y, you know, in my opinion, a great album. You know, that is fantastic from front to back. I have almost like no issue. I don't think there's any skips on it.
Me too.
I think, it, you know, fantastic album. But Viva is so, so different that the two are almost incomparable.
Yeah.
So if you look at X and Y, you can say this is a fantastic album, but it's not great on acoustics or it's not great on strings. Which you look at Viva.
Which Viva is.
That album definitely utilizes those two things to the maximum. So they probably just looked at things and said, oh, I wish we'd, you know, had a little more of that. And said, well, let's use that as the thing that we make better for this next one.
Exactly.
You can see that in all their albums since, you know, A Rush of Blood from Parachutes.
Yes, exactly. It's like each album responds to the previous ones. Each album's it's clearly the next step that they should have. And I mean, maybe even to finish, because you're here for almost an hour. But when I see people like ranking albums, I always ask like, what is your favorite album? What is your favorite song? Because I like to see people struggling because we cannot decide, right? But, and I know that's mean, but I never said that I was a good person. Just kidding. But... I'm really afraid to be canceled, but I think it's so childish to like make ranks sometimes, because like
I agree, like it's great to make them, but you have to do it as just sport. You can't take that stuff too seriously.
Yes, exactly. And something that I see now, it's people that I remember when I'm talking about Music of the Spheres because it's the one that is new, but every time this happens, like people play the album for the first time and already make rankings like of the best songs or the best. And I mean, like, calm down. Like, you know, when I listened to, I don't know, Beautiful for the first time, I didn't like it that much. But now I see some problems in that song. It's not my favorite song from the album, but I can enjoy it, which was something that I didn't in the first time.
Or I agree with that entirely. You know, something that I think people kind of forget when an album comes out is like Milo Xyloto for me. Like, I have beat that album to death. I have listened to that so much.
Me too.
Same with A Head Full of Dreams. Same with Ghost. You know, I've listened to these songs so much, almost to an exhausting extent.
Yeah.
And when something bright and shiny and new comes out, you think, oh, this is the best thing ever, just because it hasn't been exhausted yet.
Yeah.
So you gotta like wait a year until you've had that thing on repeat for an exhausting amount of time to be able to compare it to the others and say, okay, how is this held up compared to albums which have had a similar treatment?
Yeah, and now with Music of the Spheres, we had something different that was the album trailer. I mean, we listened to that since July. Like, so we already had a picture in our heads about the song. I don't know about you, but like, I had a completely different idea that in my head for Humankind, for example. I wasn't expecting anything like that when they played Humankind on the album. So, and this was not something good for me. Like, I listened to Overture so much that I was like, it felt strange. Some songs felt a bit strange. I don't know. Because of that. So, I mean, like,
you create the expectation in your mind. It's the same thing that happened with some of the Star Wars movies, is people didn't like where the plot went because they had built up the entire plot in their heads. And then when the reality didn't match that, they were left kind of confused.
And it's not because the movie in this case or the album, it's bad. It's just not they were expecting. But Coldplay is not supposed to like match our expectations, and that's a nice point.
Yeah.
So something that I'm thinking for a long time, I started last year to write about music, to make music reviews and this kind of things. I do not do that kind of thing today anymore, but I spent a long time last year doing that. And something that became very clear to me is that when I play a record, when I press play, I cannot listen to that to see where this album fits in a rank. This cannot be the purpose.
Oh, I agree completely.
This cannot be the purpose. This cannot be the reason that I'm listening to that. And some people just like have this on their head. But what I feel when I play a record is what I feel that it's precious about listening to an album, especially an album for a band that we know so well. But this applies to literally if it's the first album that I'm listening for a band or whatever. What I want to know is, how is this band or this artist or whatever, how are those people communicating now? Because as we said, and as some other previous guests said, like, Coldplay has this same message since Parachute. They only changed like their rapping bubble, you know? They only changed... Mm-hmm.
That's a great way of putting that.
Right. I think Brooke was the first one who said that. And I was like, yes, this is exactly it. This is exactly the
Brooke's,
point.
Brooke's a genius. I love Brooke.
Yes, he is.
She, or like, if it wasn't her, whoever said that is very, very correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is the same thing. So when I press play on a Coldplay record, if it's a new one or an old one that I don't listen to for a long amount of time, like some weeks ago, before A Music of the Spheres came out, I listened to Milo Xyloto for the first time in a long time. The whole point is, I know, like, Coldplay is my favorite band. I know how they communicate. And I have already listened to Milo Xyloto for a zillion of times. But at the same time, like, I'm not the same person that I was 10 years ago when it came out. So I changed. So of course, that the way I'm going to see that, and that I'm going to listen to those music, to those songs. I told you in the beginning, when I listened to Milo Xyloto the first times, I could not say that I liked it. I didn't feel comfortable to say that. Today I feel. Today I'm 100% okay of saying, like, I love this album. So of course that I'm going to listen to the same songs in a different way. So I mean, that's the magic of things, right? That's how art works in general, and that's how Coldplay by itself works, and it's just so more interesting and funnier than only saying, no, this is the best song and this is the worst. Like, who cares?
No, you know, today I say that Fly On is, you know, I'm not going to label that as my absolute favorite,
of course,
because like there are that's a crowded pedestal, but. Like, tomorrow I might tell you Swallowed in the Sea, or I might say Humankind because that's what I was listening to, or something else, because like it varies so much depending on your moods, not only short term, but as you said, that entire decade of the first time you heard Milo to a little bit before Music of the Spheres. There's so much inside the changes for your interpretation of that album.
Yeah.
And music that can grow and age like that is a beautiful thing. Like, not all music does that.
Yes, yes. But that's the point. I mean, sometimes that's more connected to us individually than the songs. But that, I mean, that's almost 50-50. Like, there is this,
yeah,
the capacity of the song to grow, to old properly, to grow old properly. And that's the part of us that change. Like, I don't listen to some of the things that I listened 15 years ago when I started listening to Coldplay. There are some bands, there are some things that it's, they're just not the way that I think right now, that I admire in music right now. And that's okay. But it's nice to see that this didn't happen with Coldplay. That was a band that could age well. Like,
yeah,
even though it changed a lot. I mean, I changed a lot too. So it's nice to see that we could walk together. Like, as the one big band that we are, like that Chris always says, like, I feel that I started listening to Coldplay as a very young child, and of course it changed, and they changed, and I feel like, and especially now that I'm on Twitter, I just created my account, my Twitter account, my Stan account actually, on 2021. So I mean, it's very recent. So it gets that feeling that I can grow, like I am authorized, in some quotation marks, to grow and to be different, and that's okay, you know?
Yeah.
That's 100% okay.
You know, and the fact that, you know, like, there, as you grow and have different experiences, there's such a wide range of music for you to tap into.
Yeah.
You know, like, as you grow and, like, meet new friends, you know, you have Humankind, you know, today I had the strangest feeling that I belonged. Or, you know, like, the fact that Parachutes applies a lot more to people who are my age or around the age that Coldplay was when they were writing that. You know, as you grow and as the songs age alongside you, there's, you know, a lot more things for you to look at that apply to your current age.
Oh, that's just so beautiful. I mean, it's like having an old friend, you know, that watched you grow. I feel like Coldplay is my older brother. I think I've never told that to anyone because I never realized that so clearly. But sometimes I feel like they're like this thing of an old brother who, or old brothers in their case, who is there to support you and give you advice and say, like, life is this and life is that. And not the only ones, but very important ones. And this makes me emotional, right? Like, this is something that it's so beautiful, that it's and it's so valuable for me now. Whew, yeah.
There's something that I told my mom that I didn't really know within myself, but, like, I respect Chris in two ways. One, of course, for the music aspect, you know, just because he's insanely talented that way. But two, as a philosopher, like, yeah, listening to his interviews or even the messages within his music, like, there's so much to learn. And it has been such a guide to me, or introducing me to the poems by Rumi, yeah, at the Guest House, narrated by Coleman Barthes.
Yeah.
You know, like, it feels like there's a mentor, so to speak, in him or in the things that he puts out.
And this is just him being himself. Like, he's not trying to be a mentor. None of them are.
I know, he's just that awesome of a person.
Yeah. Yeah,
they all are. They're just genuinely great and insightful people.
Yeah. Have you listened to his participation on You Made It Weird, the podcast?
I heard clips, but I didn't hear it all.
Do check it out at the end of this, because it was the living proof of, like, it feels like I'm chatting with Chris Martin just in front of me, like we're doing right now. I mean, because he's just so honest. He's just so straightforward in what he has to say. Like, And he talks about a lot of those things. Like, I remember the host of the podcast say that, like, how does he feel and how does he, is interpreted as also a philosopher, as someone who has ideas to spread to the world. And it connects perfectly to everything that you said right now, because it's just him being himself. It became very clear. Not that it wasn't, but it was just so clear. And it was just so beautiful to say that.
Because, yeah.
Like, I remember when I interviewed Tuche here, I think it's episode 4, that she said that, I totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, no. No, I hate when that happens.
It's all right. But it's nice to see somebody in Chris's position, you know, a very public figure, especially with the stuff that has happened to him with Gwyneth, or, you know, speculation about his personal life, for him to go out there and be that honest. Like, that takes huge courage, and, you know, it kind of validates him as somebody who should be listened to, somebody exactly. who should be taken seriously.
Exactly. I remember what I was thinking about Tuche. She mentioned that when she first heard Coldplay with him for The Weeknd, the music video, and then she, like, went after it, like, went and was searching for interviews and those kind of things, because she needed to be sure if that those guys that she was starting to listen to in a more frequent way, if they were not, like, dumbasses and strange people. And I felt that was so nice. And that's exactly how I felt now, right? Like, they're so human that you don't usually see them into bad headlines and those kind of things when you are searching for them. And I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but...
No, you are. And, like, the bad headlines that do pop up are, like... Like, Coldplay vows to be 100% green on a tour. Like, are they trying to change the industry? It's like, why is that a bad thing?
Yeah, exactly.
So when the worst thing you can say about somebody is a good thing, you know that they're a good person, or in this case, group of people.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very nice that we can also have a group of people. That's something that I talk a lot around here too. It's not that we can have a group of people that actually admire them and do not, I don't know, and can see them as human beings, because sometimes we have that star idea, like, cool.
Yeah, see them as kind of deities.
Yeah, any one of the guys for me are like star. I don't have stars. I don't have idols anymore. Like, this is something that I changed my mind a long time ago. Like, I don't want to have idols. Chris Martin is not my idol. He's not my star. Chris Martin is more like an old brother than to a star, like an idol for me. I don't believe in those kind of things anymore, because... I think to have an idol is to have someone that you just see. You don't dialogue. Like, you don't interact. It's just someone that is there and you want to copy.
Yeah, somebody who you just pay attention to and nothing beyond that.
Exactly.
I mean, I would say that I idolize Chris, but more in a healthy way.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh my God, that person is a god. But yeah. Just like, that person is doing such great things, spreading such a great message. And that person is a human just like me, which yeah. means I have the capacity to do great things, or, you know, kind of look, do cool outfits, or,
yeah.
you know, whatever any of that stuff is. Like, I can do that too.
Yes.
So, you know, if I can be like that person, you know, because again, I myself am, you know, the same species.
Yeah.
Like that's a great thing. Like, of all the routes that I can take within my life and with the things that I have, like, I would love to get to a position where I can be happy with the way that I've done things that looks like what he's doing.
Yeah, it's more of an inspiration and admiration
yeah.
than, like, the same kind of admiration that I can have with Chris Martin, I can have with my mother, for example. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's just like humans admiring humans, and not humans admiring idols. And
that person right there is great, and I want to be great
yeah.
like them.
Again, Coldplay can simplify some very complex things, right? Seth, I cannot thank you enough. I mean,
I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for having me. I've had a blast.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so nice that you were able to talk to me and had a period of your day to chat and talk about our favorite band. I mean,
yeah, just having a talk with, you know, somebody who wants to hear what you have to say. You know, I feel the same about you. It felt like I was just like after school some days, I would just get on Zoom or, you know, a like program and just kind of talk about life.
Exactly.
And that's what this felt like.
Exactly. Exactly. But well, thank you very much. I hope that we can see each other around someday. Even though we are like a long distance apart, but well, we have Zoom, right?
Yeah. But you know, like there's Coldplay events all over. We'll hopefully figure something out. I would love to, you know, meet you in person as well someday.
Yeah, it would be so awesome, like, to have like everybody. Because where are you from in the United States, more specifically?
I'm from like around Philadelphia.
Oh, get it.
So that's like the Northeast. It's south of New York City, but not too south.
Yeah, I have been to New York once in 2019, and like really intend to come back because it's a city that like has my heart in tune now. Like, my body is here, but my soul is still in New York. So I intend to come back.
I get that.
So maybe like we can see each other. Like, and it's nice because in New York we have lots of people that I already know, like Brooke and you and Haley. So I really want to have you close someday in the future. So it would be so nice if we can meet someday.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But thank you very, very much. Do you have anything that you still, like I said once, I asked, I think it was Frank, that if he had any last words, and it sounded so awful. But now all the time that I'm going to ask if the guest has anything to say, the only thing that comes to my mind is, do you have any last words? But that's not what I'm asking.
Any closing words? That's what you should say.
Yeah, okay. That's perfect. Do you want to say anything to close our episode?
I mean, not anything really other than I love this community. I love the band. I love the message. And I love being able to meet and talk to new people. And also, like, if anybody hears this podcast and like wants to like interact with me, I guess, like, cause I've seen a lot of people like talk or put out videos and stuff. And I think, man, I really want to be friends with that person, but I don't want to reach out cause I don't want to make an ass of myself. Like I love talking to new people. So if you want to reach out to me, like do so. And also listen to the rest of this podcast because it is, you know, a fantastic place to learn about different people in the community and just kind of have personal feelings validated, you know, about yourself or about your interpretation of the music. You think, oh, I'm not alone in this. Or you think like, oh, it's really cool that, you know, other people feel the same way that I do about certain songs.
And not only songs, right? As we talked about it. Okay, so Seth, thank you very much. Again, I have no words to thank you. Hope to see you around, and that's it.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
I can't wait to hear the episode.
Thank you so much for listening to Code Talks. This podcast is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Rodrigo Saminis. I also made the soundtrack of the show, which is original since season 2. Graphic design is made by Luis Eduardo Pinheiro. I ask you please to rate the podcast and follow us in the platform that you're listening to. It helps us a lot. Also, if you like Code Talks and want to support the show, please consider buying us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/CodeTalksPod to donate whatever you want. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CodeTalksPod, P-O-D. Thank you very much and see you next week.